You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the Academy Awards ceremony was filled with surprises last night, including the announcement of the wrong movie as the winner for Best Picture. We'll get the details with film critic Reggie Ponder. First, President Donald Trump's contentious relationship with the media seems to be getting even more contentious, if last week was any indication. In a Friday speech to the Conservative Political Action Conference, the president doubled down on controversial comments he previously made about the media. Here's a listen.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people. Because they have no sources, they just make them up when there are none.
That same day, a new controversy erupted when the White House blocked selected news media organizations, including the New York Times and CNN, from attending an off-camera press briefing held by White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. Additionally, some conservative outlets were allowed in, including Breitbart and the Washington Times. The feud between Trump and the media still going on, but what's behind it? What does an attack on the Fourth Estate mean for citizens? Mark Feldstein joins us now. He's professor and chair of broadcast journalism at the University of Maryland and a former investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC News, and other news outlets. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, it's been around, I mean, through the whole campaign, of course, but the media attacks coming from the Trump administration, I think we can say they're ramping up. I don't know. What do you make of this? Is this a strategy from the president?
I think it's a strategy, and I think it's an impulse almost beyond control. So the two dovetail nicely in his case. You know, it's always easier to blame the messenger when there's bad news and to deal with whatever responsibility you have for it. And his conservative base has long disliked what it perceives as media elites, so he's throwing them red meat by doing this.
I've seen some comments from Republicans who are not the hugest Trump supporters all along, but saying, hey, you know, it seems like the media is maybe going a little too far. They're taking almost a gleeful approach to trying to go after the president. Is there anything to that?
Well, I mean, you may see parts of that, but I don't think as a whole that's the case. You know, if anything, I think the media perhaps can be, you know, faulted for not having taken Trump more seriously and been more critical earlier in the campaign and gave him such an open microphone. But there's no question he's personalizing it when he attacks the media as an institution in ways, you know, no president has since Richard Nixon. And I think there is some instinctive defensiveness and cohesion and rallying around that does happen as a result by the press.
Yeah, how does this compare to the Nixon administration? I remember the nattering nabobs of negativism, the Spiro Agnew quote. Are we on a par with that, beyond that? What do you think?
I think we're beyond that, at least this early in the administration. Nixon, too, used the word enemy to describe the press hundreds of times, and he took a lot of action beyond the, you know, rhetorical devices of denouncing the media. He, brought antitrust action against the networks, which was unusual because he was a pro-business administration. He tried to censor the Pentagon Papers. He put individual reporters on enemies lists, audited their tax returns, and so forth. So we haven't seen that kind of follow-up action by Trump yet, but it's still early. I mean, even Nixon hadn't taken on the press with such a hammer and tong this early in his administration. So I suspect it's only going to escalate from here on out.
Talking to Mark Feldstein from the University of Maryland about the ongoing battle between the Trump administration and the media. Let's get to this other big news from last Friday. This gaggle, as it's called, Sean Spicer, bringing in some media organizations, blocking a handful, New York Times, CNN, I think the BBC. Is this the media certainly reacted strongly to this. What do you make of that?
I think there's actually less to this than meets the eye, at least. I don't think it substantively affects that much the information that gets out to the public. I think it's petty on the White House's part and an attempt, obviously, to, you know, reward friends and punish enemies. But I think, you know, the vilification of the news media as an institution, the fake news, the enemy of the people, is actually, you know, more destabilizing to the press than that kind of favoritism.
Now, in that event, a couple news organizations, the Associated Press and Time, when they found out some had been blocked, they refused to attend. Others said afterwards, oh, if we'd known, we wouldn't have attended ourselves. What do you think is the responsibility of a reporter who knows they're in and somebody else is out?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it depends the aggressiveness with which they are attacked. I mean, I think solidarity is something that journalists use in, you know, in foreign countries where authoritarian regimes go after them. It's something that in the Nixon case, for example, the attempt to censor the Pentagon Papers backfired on Nixon. Not only did he fail in the courts, but it unified the press against him. So, you know, there is a real risk that Trump is approaching with this kind of a strategy, and I think we're already starting to see the beginnings of it. And I think a lot of the news media sees this as an existential, potentially existential threat, and is reacting accordingly.
Speaking of the Pentagon Papers, there's been a lot of attention to the issue of leaks in the Trump administration, internal efforts. Some people have been pointing toward the Obama administration very aggressively pursuing leaks and targeting reporters who revealed information, but was less vocal about it, I guess, less publicly attacking media. How do you compare and contrast there?
Well, you're right. I mean, leaks are as apple as America, or as American as apple pie. They go back to George Washington's administration, and you had national security leaks from people like Thomas Jefferson when he was Secretary of State of what were then, what today would be considered classified documents. So there's a long history and tradition of that. It's part of the essence of democracy to have that as a kind of safety valve. But we have seen in the last few administrations, and particularly since the growth of the national security state after World War II, this enormous overclassification of documents, prosecution of whistleblowers, particularly, or sources, however you want to call them, in the last couple of administrations, Bush and Obama, and you know, and it, I think only going to increase with Trump. And I think it's really that's disturbing because it's a way to choke off the information that the public needs without actually having to get their hands dirty going after the media itself directly.
You mentioned former President George W. Bush. Here he is on NBC's Today Show this morning. He was defending the media. Here's a listen.
I consider the media to be indispensable to democracy. That we need an independent media to hold people like me to account. I mean, power can be very addictive, and it can be corrosive, and it's important for the media to call to account people who abuse their power.
We've seen other Republicans pushing back on Donald Trump's rhetoric about the media, including John McCain, among others. What's your reaction to what people from the president's party are saying in response?
Well, I think that's quite telling, and it's an example of how even establishment Republicans really view Trump as an outlier in a lot of areas. Now, I think President Bush had a less positive view of the news media when he himself sat in the White House and his people talked about how they didn't represent the public. They were their own special interests. And you know, Thomas Jefferson was the same way. He had lots of nice things to say about the press before he became president, not so much when he was there. But the fact is, the framers of our Constitution, you know, put in a specific protection for freedom of the press for a reason, not because journalists matter per se, but because they are the conduits for the American people. They are an additional check on the abuse of power, and that is a belief that has been bipartisan really for the last 200 years. Individual presidents may, you know, be irritated by the press, but none have sought to, you know, destabilize it as an institution. And I think it's a bit of a shot across the bow from the establishment Republicans that, you know, there are some places where Trump ought not to go.
Briefly, Mark, as we wrap up, your prescription for the media, the mainstream media, going forward?
Just put their heads down, try not to, you know, try to ignore the flack, report the news fairly and accurately, dig deep, and hold power accountable on all sides.
We'll leave it there. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
We've been talking to Mark Feldstein. He's a professor and chair of broadcast journalism at the University of Maryland, former investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC News, and other outlets. He joined us to talk about the ongoing and escalating feud between President Trump and the news media. Coming up, we'll talk about last night's Oscar Awards ceremony, successes, and some conspicuous failures on stage as well. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.